Welcome to Swiftly Spoken, a fan-made Taylor Swift podcast in which we break down her lyrics, deep dive into full album retrospectives, and theorize about what may be coming next. We are your hosts, as always, Lisa and Cameron, and this week we're going to be talking about our experiences at the Eras Tour film, as well as highlighting our favorite moments from the movie and going over the available exclusive merch. So what we wanted to do today is just have a relaxed conversation in which we go over how we felt about the Eras Tour movie. We're going to be talking about the things that were cut, the surprise songs that made it, and the other choices that didn't make it, how we felt about that, and in general, just our experiences of the evening, or in some cases, the evenings of, of enjoying this film. As you know, we haven't been to the Eras Tour yet, obviously. Our dates are next year. So for us, this was kind of like a practice and a trial run through what the experience really feels like. And honestly, just straight off the bat, I still can't get my head around just how incredible it was. I can't even imagine what the tour is going to be like. But just for, I'm so glad that this came out internationally and everyone or a lot of people are going to be able to experience this some way. Because it was just such an incredible time.
Oh yeah, it was so cool. And like you said, it's so cool that it's just so much more easily accessible. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, you know, people that didn't get tickets or people that have got tickets or, you know, are trying it out for the first time and are intrigued, like, oh, okay, what's this about? Can kind of experience it. And I'm sure you can agree, like, we know the tour pretty inside out. Like, you know, I know that set list pretty inside out. And most of the performances I've seen, 90% of the song, if not 100%. But even though I kind of have watched all those live streams and seen all those videos, there were still so many parts, even for me, I was like, oh, wow, or, oh, I didn't know that, or that was cool. Like, you know, and I just, bits that you just didn't get to see and being able to kind of experience it as a whole was just so cool. And I couldn't imagine what it must have been like the first night when it was just all new and fresh.
Yeah, I completely agree. And to see it in HD is just such a treat as well. We had a few of you guys, our listeners, on and you chatted about different things and different how from different perspectives the show is quite different. And this was another example of that, to see it through the lens of really, really close up, honestly. It was just incredible to see. And like you said, we have seen it on lots of grainy live streams, but this was just another level. It was just incredible. Amazing. I cannot wait for it to become available as well on streaming one day in the future, long way off, but whenever it does, to think that you can relive this incredible tour is just amazing. I'm really, really glad that she decided to do this.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
It was so, so cool. And I think even people have said that have been to the tour that even they experienced things that they didn't get to see when they saw it live. So
right.
I think even people that have actually been to the tour, it's still like, oh God, I didn't see that, because, you know, there would have been elements of the dance parts or like Intolerate It,
so
which was a very intricate kind of performance.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you would have totally missed that if you were kind of up in the gods somewhere. So yeah, it was really, really cool to kind of see it so up close.
Yeah. So before we get into the film itself and, you know, some parts that were changed or other parts that we enjoyed or our experiences and what our crowds were like, or our audiences, should I say, I just thought we'd talk about a little bit how we actually like got dressed up or how we went. Firstly, you guys, as always, let us know in the comments, we had some polls and you guys were like saying some of you were going to get dressed up, some of you were going to just go with like normal merch. Did you, in the end, what did you wear? If you did, were you wearing a full Taylor Swift costume? Because I don't know about on your end, Cameron, but where I am, we had a mix of things. There were some people just, you know, nicely dressed, glitter, the typical Taylor kind of garments. And then we had like people going for it. They were people like completely dressed in Reputation era, like completely dressed in the Lover, me dress with the heart on the eye and everything. So I had a bit of everything.
So cool.
It was really, really cool to see. It was like half concert, half not, you know what I mean? Like there was like a bit of a mix. On my end, I made some t-shirts for me and my friends and my boyfriend. Yeah, so we didn't go to, it was very handmade, all of it, right? But still.
It didn't look it though. You did an incredible job. Like, I was very impressed by your pen work because Jesus, it looked so good. Like,
Thank you.
I'm going to have to kind of, you're going to have to tell me how you do it, because next year I'm going to need some help. Because
I will share my secrets.
I do not have that steady hand.
My t-shirt was the Junior Jewels, but with all of the album titles on it. And I did see a lot of Junior Jewels, I must say. It is a very much a Swiftie staple, isn't it? I saw a lot of red t-shirts. I saw a lot of Reputation love. There was a lot of people wearing Reputation things. A lot, like I said, a lot of glitter. What about on your end? Were people also motivated, dressed up?
Yeah, I think it, just like you, yeah, like a lot of Junior Jewels and just, yeah, a lot of people in kind of like dresses that were like glittery and pink, and, you know, they'd like kind of put like gems in their hair and things like that. Basically just like the Eras tour. It was kind of what you would expect at the Eras tour. Unfortunately, I was at work.
Yeah.
So I literally went straight from work to the movie. So mine was a little tamed down. I was literally just wearing jeans and I was wearing a Speak Now World Tour t-shirt. And while I was at work, I did a, 13 on my hand, just like Taylor did.
Yeah.
I did it with nail polish, Sharpie and hairspray. And I burnt literally like all the hair off my hand. because it's toxic, and I did it 2 days in a row. So I did that, and I had a paper airplane necklace as well that I originally got when I saw Harry Styles' Love on Tour this year.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, you can kind of use it for both. So I did have my kind of Taylor nods here and there, and I brought my little Taylor hoodie with me. But yeah, it was a bit of a mix, same as you. It was kind of people dressing up, people just wearing tour merch. It was a lot. What was so weird is, like, obviously you see there's so much Taylor merch that gets released, and, you know, so many people buy it and it sells out, and you never see it in the world.
Yeah,
you know,
it's in the wild.
Like, you never see it out and about. Yeah. And it was so weird being like, oh my God, that's that Lover t-shirt, or that's the Midnight's one.
Yeah.
Or like, I was like, oh God, all the folklore stuff. I was like, oh my God, I've never seen anyone, you know, out in the wild wearing all this. And it was just so cool that, I don't know if it was like that for you, but everyone at my cinema, because every single screen was the Eras tour. So
oh,
like,
wow. So
everyone
was like taking
there
over. Yeah.
Was Taylor. Yeah. It was like a Taylor takeover. Like, the whole cinema itself was like decked out, like balloons and like glittery drapes and posters and this and that.
I love
that. And all the
so
staff
much.
Had like, the staff had like Junior Jewels t-shirts on that they'd made and stuff.
Oh,
it
wow.
was so,
I got
it was
into
like
it.
Like proper into it. And it was like being in Taylor heaven, because before the film started, like when I was going to the loo and stuff, you'd walk past each screen and you could hear, oh, they're at the Lover set and they're at the Fearless. And you could just, it was like walking through the hallways, and, you know, you'd walk past one door and it'd be Shake It Off, you'd play in the next door. It'd be like, You Belong With Me or Cruel Summer, you know. It was so sick. I was just like, this is heaven. Like, I've died and gone to heaven, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah
this is the coolest thing ever.
No, it was, yeah, I agree, it's just such a amazing experience. Not as many showings at my cinema, but it did still have its little cut out with Taylor on it. It had its, they made a designated lineup for each thing, they'd planned it out accordingly, so they knew like the Swifties were on their way and we were about to cause scandal, so that was good.
Havoc, yeah.
But maybe not as decorated as your one, but still really, really cool to see that, and to see how different cinemas, you know, really embraced the event and brought forth the merch and different things. So another thing before we move on to talking about the different kind of like merch aspects of the night, friendship bracelets. It was our first time being in like, or at least mine, being in like a Swiftie event kind of thing.
Yes.
And I took a few friendship bracelets with me. I didn't know what the feeling was going to be like, but it was absolutely incredible. I did exchange a few. I was given some as well. Oh, it was just so nice to be around other Swifties.
Exactly.
And just like, feel the love.
It was so lovely because...
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Because I've gone to like Swiftageddon quite a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's where it's like a club night, I don't know if maybe it might be different now. Because to be fair, I have gone post-Eras tour, but and there are some people out and about handing out friendship bracelets, but it's like a very different vibe.
Yeah, definitely.
And as much as everyone is so lovely and everyone's having the time of their lives, and I love Swiftageddon so much, it's like, it's not really the time to be like, oh, would you like it? You know, like when people are enjoying themselves during songs. So this was my first time as well, where that was kind of a thing. And I, again, because I just hadn't had the time, what with my ceiling falling down and all of that, I didn't have the time to kind of make friendship bracelets. So I felt a bit like, oh, I haven't got any. But when I was in the cinema, this girl, bless her, who was so, so lovely, said, oh, would you like a friendship bracelet? And I was like, oh my God, I'd love one. And I was like, I haven't got any to exchange. She was like, no worries. And she gave me a Sparks Fly one, because I said that Sparks Fly was one of my favourite songs. And I've generally been wearing it since. Like, it's just so, she put so much, it's so lovely, because it's like someone's dedicated their time and put so much time and effort into it. And it's such a nice thing. Like, my one has a little like metal spark, like charm and stuff. And it's all like,
so
it's
cute.
Almost like Wonderstrucky coloured. Exactly. And it's so lovely. And I just,
yeah.
when she gave it to me, I felt like, oh, and I like put it on my little wrist, yeah. and I like took a photo of it and sent it yeah. to some people, like, oh, someone just, I just felt so like loved, you know
it
what
is,
I mean?
Even though, it is,
you
know, it really does feel like you are embraced by a community. And
exactly,
especially for some of us, we don't have very many like Swiftie friends, or we have some Swiftie adjacent, but there's, you could really feel like we are in our place, you know. And it was just
exactly,
it's just so, it's such a nice tradition that has been started, the friendship bracelets, honestly.
Oh yeah,
I love it. And I will remember them girls that I traded with, like, you know what I mean, like I will keep them bracelets and remember them, and it's such a sweet thing to take away from the experience. Definitely,
exactly. Exactly. And that's what I really loved, was just, and it was just, everyone there was just so lovely, like there was not a single person that was rude or anything. Everyone was so chatty and friendly, and was just, it was just, the whole vibe even before the film started was just like, everyone was just so lovely. Like this, I asked this girl, I was just like, oh, could you watch my bag? And while I go to the toilet, she's like, oh my God, yeah, no worries, no worries. And when I came back, she gave me these big thumbs up and like this big smile. Well, and I was just like, oh, everyone's just so, it's just such a lovely,
community.
Exactly, such a lovely vibe. Whereas
definitely.
In some places I'd feel like slightly awkward, you know what I mean? Whereas there was just no awkwardness.
No.
Everyone was just, they're having the time of their lives. And the first time I went was totally by myself. So it's like, you know, I didn't have anyone there, but there was loads of people there by themselves with groups, and everyone was just being so welcoming. And no, I couldn't like say a bad word about the entire experience. It was literally just the loveliest, coolest, funnest thing. And it just, it did make me so excited for tour. And I need to get on the friendship bracelet thing and start making them soon.
Oh yeah, I was like, I need to step up my game, because I thought I was at least a little prepared, but I was like, no, people taking this really seriously. Like, I need to be, for anyone who went to the Eras tour, how many bracelets do you think we need? Because I'm a bit worried now.
Exactly,
I'm like, well, how am I going to carry all this around?
Yeah.
I need to prepare.
I know, to be fair, I think Halsey, I think she had like a little Ziploc bag when she
went. You know what? That was the cleverest idea.
And she was kind of handing them out.
Yeah, yeah. We need to prepare something like that, definitely.
Or little hooks. The girl that gave me mine, she had like this like plastic hook.
Yes, that's what I want.
Them all on, which I think was quite a good way of doing it.
Yeah.
But what was so lovely was because she had made loads, because she said, oh, she said, have you got a small or big wrist? Because she had someone made for like bigger or smaller wrists.
That's,
and I was like, oh, I said, I've got little tiny ones.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I've got little tiny ones. She was like, oh, she said, the Sparkfly one will fit perfect. I was like, oh, great. Because, so that was what was so nice, was just such an inclusion, and just everyone was just lovely. Like, my second time was very different, because I went with a couple of friends. And again, I just wore, because I was traveling, I went to visit them, so I went to a different town, and I wore like an old Fearless tour t-shirt, and again I had my 13 on my hand,
that burned in 13
was it? it literally burned.
Oh my
skin.
Goodness.
But you know, the things
good,
we
though.
Do, it's all fun.
Yeah,
games.
It looked great.
To be fair, I think I did a really good
it
job.
Looked, yeah, I loved the colour. It was like a baby blue colour, and it looked very, very effective. Yes.
So I think for Eras tour, I'm going to get like different colors for the different outfits I'm going to wear or whatever that kind of correlate. But yeah, that was all I could. I rushed to Sainsbury's and picked up the first nail polish I could find. But it actually worked out quite good, because it was quite a good color. So yeah, I did that, and again, wore my paper airplane necklace again.
The merchandise, or not really merchandise, but kind of merchandise.
It is, I suppose. Yes, yeah, it's the best merch you can get from a cinema, you know.
Well, that's for sure, yeah.
That's
so
as good as you're going to get.
America did get, like AMC did get a few extra little bits and bobs, like the tote bags and like the glow stick or whatever that kind of was.
Yeah.
And they also exchanged like exclusive friendship bracelets. Over on our end, we had obviously the different popcorn and drinks containers. So we both decided that we would get our little menu, popcorn menu, and our drinks containers, because it is like very much exclusive merch. By the time that my session had finished in my particular cinema, they had sold out of them, so I was so glad that I did decide to go for it, for sure.
Got on it when you did.
And it's a really nice,
fair,
we got the little posters as well, forgot about that.
Yes, the posters for free, and because in the UK as well, they'd released it a day early, God knows why.
It
kind of caused like
the fights of
like,
it all,
you know.
Yeah,
exactly, it caused like drama, and everyone was rushing to cinemas, and I did actually go to a cinema and purposely just buy it, because I thought, I don't want to miss out on it tomorrow, because I knew that I was going to not the first showing, I was going to like the second screening at the cinema I was going to, and I thought, oh my God, I don't want it to sell out, because you know I have to get from work there, so I thought I'll grab it. So yeah, I grabbed, in the UK at least, the Vue popcorn bucket and cup, And then I went to an Odeon and I got the Odeon cup when I actually saw it on the Friday. But yeah, then the posters as well. We got a free poster, which is like just a cool little keepsake that at some point I'm going to have to frame.
It all really adds to the experience. It was really nice. And I honestly think, especially for international fans, especially for some of us international fans where Taylor hasn't been here for quite a while, so we haven't really had any events for a pretty long time, it really felt nice to have that moment as a fan and to be able to actually go out and have an event where you've got, like, you know, it was very exciting to get a little poster.
Exactly.
Overpriced popcorn.
Yeah. Everywhere that you see, like, Taylor merch, you know what I mean? Just like sat about in the wild. It's so cool to see it.
And I'm so glad that this is pretty international, pretty worldwide. Yeah. So I'm glad that it does open up the experience to so, so many more people. I'm really glad because it is a nice, lovely one. Mm.
And the cinema that I went to on the release day as well was like stacked to the brim with merch. Like, there was just merch. It was merch galore.
Cups
and buckets and everything.
Yeah.
But obviously they did sell out some of the premium stuff, and the popcorn buckets was the first kind of, after the premium cups, is the first kind of thing to go. I'd like to know what people have done, because I currently have two cups and a popcorn bucket that I generally have no clue what I'm going to do with. So I'd love to know any ideas that people have had with the popcorn buckets.
Definitely.
I've seen some people use it for like a plant pot, like a desk bin, like to store like makeup brushes and like stationery and things like that in the cups and the buckets. I think I'm going to keep one of the cups to store friendship bracelets in and kind of have it on my desk and fill it up once we go to the Eras tour. But please let us know in the comments some ideas that you have seen or have done with it, or have, of what it might be a good idea for, because I'd love to know what kind of use, especially the tub. I think that's the big one. I'm like, what on earth am I going to do with this metal tin now?
Yeah, it is quite big,
now
isn't
that
it?
You know.
Yeah. So moving on, before we talk about our experience actually watching the film, we just wanted to go over the songs that were cut from the film. So possible spoilers if you haven't been to see it yet, but if you have, you may have noticed that there were some absences of a few songs. So these were The Archer, Cardigan, Wildest Dreams, Tis the Damn Season, / Nobody No Crime, and Long Live. Out of these five, I think there were a couple that we were a bit more annoyed by than some of the others. Obviously, it's sad because you want to get the whole experience, but it makes sense. These five songs in specific don't have as much choreography. There aren't really too many things going on in these moments. Also, she had to cut it down a bit because that show is really
longer. And also, exactly. And I think what people should see as well is that it means that if you are going, there's still bits that you haven't seen.
Exactly.
So there are still some surprises.
Yeah.
But I wasn't bothered about The Archer. I think anyone that's a long-time listener knows my opinion about that song. So I was more than happy not to see that. Cardigan, to be fair, I quite like the way that it ended on
Mighty's Ricochet.
I thought it was very dramatic.
The transition was very dramatic.
Like,
Yeah.
And was very, it just felt very like, it felt very like it closed that segment.
Yeah, in fact,
really well.
I'm wondering if maybe Taylor should reorganize a tiny little bit to put Cardigan before My Tears Ricochet and close Folklore off on My Tears Ricochet, because it was an amazing moment.
Yeah, I think maybe Cardigan should go before like August, because August Illicit Affairs in, and then Illicit Affairs into My Tears
That's
was so
true.
Drama, because obviously Illicit Affairs, she was on the floor, and then she kind of rises for My Tears.
Yeah.
So I really liked that ending. I thought it was just really dramatic and very cinematic.
It worked.
Ending.
It worked.
I was quite happy with that. Wildest Dreams, again, I love Wildest Dreams. I don't have a bad word to say about it, but I didn't feel like I was missing it. You know, like 1989 had so many hits and was like power.
Yeah.
But I think that it was quite fun to just keep, because Wildest Dreams is kind of a little bit slower.
Yeah,
and,
it's not as big pop. Yeah, it's not as much going on. 1989 is an era that has a lot of visuals going on. There's a lot of dancers. There's a lot of choreography. Mm. Wildest Dreams is a little bit more toned down in comparison to all of that, of course. I agree with you. It's a great song. Love it. We'll love to sing it. But if it wasn't there, I'm glad it was that one and not like something like Bad Blood or
some of the others. Exactly. Because I thought, like, because obviously you come off Folklore, which some of the songs are slightly slower, and then to go into like 1989, which was just like style, Blank Space, Shake
hit
It Off,
hit.
Bad Blood, you know what I mean?
What
it was
an
just
album.
Like, boom, boom, boom,
what
boom,
an
boom.
Era.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And then to go into the surprise song, which then was kind of calming it down again, was right. I think it was just very well. I thought they were really, really good at transitioning, actually, the whole movie, and we'll get into it later, of like having all the big, big moments, but then having moments of calm. It was very good
and
at
then going back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Kind of
transitioning. It does make you feel like that. And it made us see the whole set list like in one piece, because I hadn't really sat down to watch the entire Eras tour since the first weekend. After that, I've watched like bits and bobs of especially surprise songs, right? But you know, bits and bobs of shaky live streams and videos of some songs and other songs. But to see it all in one, it really does finally, you do see, okay, so this really does have a lot of ups and downs during the night. You know, there are big moments, and then there's moments when it's a bit more calm,
chill it down a bit,
and it's nicely balanced. I have to say I was pretty impressed by that. Yeah,
exactly. And I thought the Eras, and we'll get into it later, but I thought the Eras was all really balanced. But on Cut Songs, Tis the Damn Season / Nobody No Crime, because it was recorded the night that Heim came out, so therefore it would have been Nobody No Crime rather than Tis the Damn Season. But obviously technically either were missing. But again, I quite like Willow starting it. I thought Willow again was very dramatic.
What a moment. Yeah, definitely. It was such a explosive moment to kick off that Evermore era, for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think Evermore is sometimes seen as a slightly slower album, and you know, maybe not having these big pop moments. And I think that did a really good job of highlighting that, you know, still can have these very, like, you know, choreographed and dramatic moments. So I thought that was a really good way to kick off the Evermore era. Long Live. Now
Long
that
live.
One,
yeah, it hurt when I saw that was going to be shown. I was very, very pained by that. Yeah,
I just don't understand, because Long Live is the most Eras tour song ever. Like, it couldn't be more like Eras tour if it tried.
Not being funny to Enchanted either, because I do love Enchanted. I think it very much encapsulates the Speak Now era. But if I had to choose between the two to see, obviously
I'd see Long Live.
Exactly. And I do hope she keeps it on that set list. I do. I pray. I do. And we will speak about it next year as we near our time. But it scares me.
It does worry me with these Cut Songs of what potentially that there could be chops and changes here and there.
Don't do that to me.
I fingers crossed. I wouldn't be upset with The Archer, Cardigan, Wildest Dreams or Tis the Damn Season, but I would generally be really upset with
it. It would, yeah, I agree with
all
that.
I've ever wanted
Although
is to
I
hear
do
that
want
song
Tis
live.
The Damn Season as well, because I do love that comped up edition.
Guitar-y, more like rocky version. Yeah.
Either way, we'll see about that and how that, you know, transpires as time goes on, and we will cover all of that, of course. But as for Long Live, at least we did get it in those amazing credits. Oh, that was just as emotional as the whole film. I'm so glad we got like the Eras and the Errors of the Eras.
Yeah.
It was very funny to watch. It was very the little message at the end. You think it's over, but you're tearing up one last time.
Oh yeah, no, it was so good. But to kind of get into the set list of it all.
Yes.
What I really, really loved was that each era, they kind of added the name and like the font, like the logo of that era to really, I thought they did a really good job of like distinguishing it very clearly for audiences and making it more visual. I loved that. I thought that was so, so cool. And like, and the way that they transitioned, the red one, what the hell?
I know, I was like, what
the blues? I was like, what?
Excuse me though, the Reputation one. No.
Oh, that was
iconic.
Sick.
But I suppose we should go in order a little bit to talk about not really every single thing, every single song, because we have done that before. If you want to check it out and want to see our opinions of the actual set list, you can go check out that video. But things that we didn't notice maybe, or firstly, we have Lover. And I think the first thing that I have to highlight, Cruel Summer Bridge. The audience I was in, my room went off. It was
really
so loud. I was like, oh my god, it's like I'm there, you know. It was and I realized, oh, this is how it's gonna go tonight. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
It was so cool when she was like, if you know it, sing along. And she was like, prove it.
Prove it. And I was like, oh, you bet.
yeah. And then I loved the end of Cruel Summer. I love that ending.
I love it. I literally sing it always because it's so good. It's so good. Yeah. You're right.
That was really, really cool. And the only thing with the Lover era was it kind of went by quite quick because you're like, wow.
It's a lot to take
in
very
quickly. Sick. Yeah, I thought The Man was really cool because getting to kind of see that, like, the office setup more close up. You Need to Calm Down just went by like that because it kind of starts in the second verse anyway.
Yeah,
and you're like, what?
Yeah, Cut Down. Yeah, definitely.
And I did love the song Lover. That was kind of a bit more chill. And then the kind of break into Fearless. Oh, yes.
I know you're a bit averse to the Archer, but I did miss the iconic transition between the Archer and Fearless, like where Paul Sidoti is on the guitar and we kind of get like this big solo kind of moment. I did miss that. But I understand why we had to cut down the time and we jumped straight into Fearless. And did you do the hand heart?
Yes.
We did the hand heart. And yes, I was like, we did. Oh, great. Oh, that moment like, made me tear up so bad. I was like, this is so beautiful.
Oh yeah. I loved it. And it was just, I was just like, oh, and went into the little spin. Oh, it was so cool. And then obviously You Belong With Me, Love Story, like hit, smashed
out. Iconic, of course. Yeah.
And then Evermore, again, loved the intro with like Evermore kind of going behind the tree. What I thought was really cool was the kind of album intro bits. They really encapsulate the era even in those. You know what I mean? Like those were like, that's so Evermore.
No, honestly, we've said this before and I will keep saying it. It's just an amazing celebration of, and a very cohesive one. It makes sense. All of these albums are so very different, but it is all tied together so well that you can transition, not in a chronological way, through these eras. And it makes sense. And Taylor really does embody that person in those eras. And you're like, I understand why we take a break in Evermore. And she kind of gives us the, you know, we take a break in Lover as well. And she gives us a little moment where she introduces us. And it makes sense because that's what she wanted to do in her plans before they were paused. Then in Evermore, we kind of have the recap from then till now. Then, you know, we have pauses throughout the night. In Red, obviously, we get kind of like the more of the introduction of Taylor's versions, and as she discusses All Too Well. And then obviously the small pauses that she does throughout the night in Folklore as well, they all make a lot of sense, and it really ties it all together so well. So once again, however Taylor came up with this set list and how the organization of these eras, it was very, very well done. Very well done, I have to say.
And then Tolerate It, I was really intrigued by the whole kind of, that was very like dramatic and again, very cinematic in the way that was filmed. And I hadn't really seen like that performance so up close. So to be able to see it so
the
up close,
and
the emotion, the emotion and the theater and everything that Taylor was kind of exuding was just so cool. And as we've said, that rap intro with the snake, like,
goosebumps. I didn't realize what would take over my body when Reputation came about. Reputation is that girl.
Sick.
She is that girl. All of my theater was absolutely going crazy for it. It was
losing their minds for it.
And it is a very high energy era, that's for sure, especially coming off the back of
Intense.
Evermore. It is ready for it. Delicate is kind of like more of it, but then that Don't Blame
a
Me, Look What
chill.
You Made Me Do as well. Look What You Made Me Do.
Delicate with the kind of the stomping
breaking
of the glass was
loved
really
that.
Cool. I thought that was really, really cool. I love that. But yeah, the Don't Blame Me, Look What You Made Me Do. But quickly, I thought I'd mention the fonts, because all the fonts are Taylor's version fonts. So 1989, Speak Now, Fearless, and obviously Evermore, Folklore, Lover, Midnight. But the Reputation one is the same Reputation font, but the R was capitalized. Do you think that is Rep Taylor's version font? Because I think it might be. It would make sense.
Because
like, it would make
fonts,
sense.
Right, it does. You're right. All of the fonts are very, very... I'm talking about the Taylor's version fonts. They are very similar to the original fonts with just a tiny little bit of a switch up. So maybe, it would be weird to see the R capitalized now, though, after all this time.
Exactly. It would be.
With a
it
little,
would be. But, it,
yeah.
But if it wasn't the rep font, surely it would just, if it wasn't the Taylor's version, sorry,
why not leave
rep
the
font,
original,
surely it would just be OG.
yeah I see.
So I'm intrigued there what
good catch.
That's about, but
very good eye,
but yeah, when
I
saw that
I was distracted,
like,
I was just screaming. I couldn't. Delicate, 1 2 3 Let's Go Bitch. That was a moment as well. I forgot about that.
I
screamed that top of my lungs.
And the claps during You Belong With Me, everyone's doing those, it was so cool. And then I'm
trying
to think,
lore of it all.
And Look What You Made Me Do, that whole performance was just like, wow,
it was
like,
so good. As well, to see all of the costumes that were featured from other eras, like we've said before, again, sorry to go on about things that we have kind of highlighted previously, but to see it in HD makes you appreciate it much more. Just the layout of the stage, how the dancers move around, who were incredible as well, and how they really get into it as well. You know, they understand the deep lore of the Taylor Swift universe as well. And you can see that. And it is really, really nice to see incredible artists who really, really are into their job, and they are just as much enjoying it as Taylor is. And it comes across. It really does come across.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think then, obviously, next is Speak Now. Love it. There's not loads to say. It was just gorgeous. But what I did really love was Folklore, was the kind of... Oh, no, then Red, sorry. Red, oh, my God. How the hell? Because I forget. So, obviously... during, and I said this to you at the time, I remember texting you, because basically I decided to chug an entire liter, I'm not even joking, of Coke.
Yeah, this is an interesting thing to talk about. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, toilet songs, because there was lots of people that had toilet songs, and we'll talk about those in a second once I tell you mine. Because basically, obviously, we have this big jug of Coke in the Taylor Swift cup, and before the film started, I thought, oh, I better drink it, because I won't drink it during the film because I'll be singing along and enjoying myself. So I just chugged it, and then honestly, by the Red set list, I was like, I am gonna burst, like I'm literally going to burst.
Yeah.
And I was like, Red kind of started, and it was 22, and I didn't want to miss 22 because that was just really good fun. And it was We Never Ever Get It Back Together, and I was thinking, we are getting so close to All Too Well 10, and I could not miss All Too Well 10, but I'm gonna wee myself if I don't go to the toilet soon. So I bolted it during I Knew Trouble, like ran out of the cinema, ran past all the other screens and could hear what sections they were on. And I remember texting you because you were like, I've just got out. And I was like, well, I'm in the Red segment, but I'm what's it gone for, a wee
I was like,
trouble.
Run!
And you were like, get back in. You were like, get.
Yeah.
And then I literally like did the quickest wee of my life and bolted back in just as she's finished and got to All Too Well 10. And oh my God, All Too Well 10. I don't know how I'm going to survive it in real life.
Also, because, I don't know how we all did it. Like, it is such a long and wordy song.
Mm.
And those 10 minutes just go by so quick. You don't stop singing. It's just verse after verse, it keeps coming at you.
And when she does the kind of final segment of it, where like all the lights go red and she like lifts her leg out and she looks like a proper rock star, like, I was like, wow, she just looks incredible. But toilet songs, because we're rushing around different things.
Yeah.
For my first showing, weirdly, the first song where everyone went to the toilet was The One. There was about three people that went to the loo for that.
The one
was the toilet song for a lot of people.
Okay.
And also, I Knew You Were Trouble, ironically. There was three of us that went during I Knew You Were Trouble.
Yeah, I think that is
and then
quite
there was
a classic
couple...
choice, to be honest with you, so you don't miss the 10.
I think because you've kind of heard it and you're thinking, oh my God, we're getting close to All Too Well, you know.
Yeah.
And then Shake It Off was also another toilet song.
Okay,
that was the other one.
So
again, about three, four people. And I think, again, people are probably thinking, oh, I love Shake It Off, but I've heard it, you know. I'm not going to miss anything.
It's understandable. Everyone can make their own choices. Obviously, no shame on anyone who does go, because it is very important to do that. you mustn't compromise your health at any point. Neither at the films or at the concert. You can try and prepare. I now know that I need to prepare with a toilet break definitely a little bit closer to the time, because I also needed to go. But it was kind of like a little bit further on, and I said, no, I'm not missing anything. So
I can hold on
here. Yeah, so I did. But a lot of people did go, and I think, you know, as well, it was some popular choices were I Knew You Were Trouble. Also, there were a few people who did leave during All Too Well 10 Minute. I get it.
Oh, really?
I guess there's some people who maybe aren't into something like that. Maybe they're not so deep in the lore of it all, which is perfectly fine. Everyone has their own tastes and their own kind of reasons to, you know, things that they want to enjoy. There were some people who maybe maybe they weren't like deep Swifties, they're more kind of like GP kind of Swifties, right? And they want to hear the big hits, which is perfectly fine as well. Yeah. Those are the songs that you know, maybe. So there were a couple of people I saw, which I know probably for some of us over here at the Swiftly Spoken podcast, we might feel like that's very...
Yes, I was like...
that's like a faux pas, we would not, but...
yeah.
But yeah, no, I did notice, like you said, in some of like the more popular songs that perhaps people have heard quite a few times or seen her perform, maybe that they kind of like left and then came back. But yeah, let us know in the comments as well. Is there any song...
if you had a toilet song.
Yeah, that you deemed your toilet song, or was there a planned break? I have seen a lot of planned breaks during I Knew You Were Trouble, I must say.
Incredible. Loved Red.
Yeah.
And then
the 22,
we go on to...
I just wanted to mention
yes.
that also the 22 hat, it was the person who was featured in the film, which I thought was really good, because obviously a lot of kids, you know, that they're underage that get the 22 hat, so maybe it would have been a bit more difficult to get the clearance, but it's also very poignant to feature Bianca Bryant, who is obviously Kobe and Vanessa Bryant's daughter, which was also a very emotional moment to see
lovely,
as well.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone in the cinema was like, oh my God,
yeah,
what happened? Everyone was like, oh, it was so, so sweet. And then, yeah, and Folklore,
yes,
really, really loved it. I loved the way she started on the roof. Then she kind of did like, Betty in the cabin,
yeah,
and then kind of worked her way down. One song actually that I was really quite impressed by, and I'm not the biggest American Dynasty, like I like it, but
oh,
I'm not
I
like, you know,
it.
A diehard fan.
No, no.
But
no,
I really
yeah.
loved the kind of drama of that production, and especially when she says,
yes.
and then it was bought by me, and her and Rebecca Harkness look at each other,
oh,
Rebecca winks,
emotional.
And then Taylor takes over.
Yeah.
Yeah, same here. I was like, oh wow, and then Taylor kind of takes that role, and then I thought that was so really, really clever, the fact
the
that you watch kind of Rebecca
of theater in her stage like the stage production of it all, and the it does feel like you're watching a little bit of a show, like I know we're watching a show, but not just a concert, but like an actual like musical kind of thing going on.
Cool.
There's a story
yeah,
being
exactly.
told, and not just on one song, but over the course of the night. There's obviously a very long
exactly.
story being told, but in that song
tolerate
specifically,
it. Yeah.
Yeah, there's so much being told. And that, again, it goes to show just how well Taylor writes, because she writes and she does paint a very vivid picture of a story.
Oh, yeah.
That's why her music videos are quite, you know, always quite interesting, always very full of visuals and full of really interesting storytelling. And it also translated really, really well to the stage show. Yeah, I completely agree with you. It was an incredible moment. And I do get emotional when I think about that moment when they kind of like nod and agree and she walks on. So next we move into the 1989 era. And I have to say, this is the era that I think obviously it's the biggest international era. And I really could feel that. Everyone or a lot of people, I don't know how you feel about this. And it will also be interesting to see how our listeners feel about this. But a lot of people decided to get up during the 1989 era,
yes,
go to the
yes,
front
and dance. Yeah,
yeah. Was that a thing that also happened in your movie
there
theater?
Was ironically, there was this one girl, bless, everyone else kind of got up.
Yeah,
there was this one girl that actually like stood by the stairway, and she was, I loved her. She was hilarious. She was having the time of her life, and especially during Shake It Off, when it says like dancing on my own,
oh,
everyone
like
kind of laughed, like in a jokey way. Everyone kind of pointed to her, and she like did a little pose. It was quite fun.
Okay,
she was loving it. She was having the time of her life. She got up properly and was like going for it, bless her. And everyone else was kind of dancing along, and I kind of got up and had a little boogie with the girl next to me.
Right,
But no, it was the 1989 one was just, I think after Folklore one was so emotional, like Illicit Affairs and
yeah,
and like
very...
what's it, My Tears Ricochet, and then into
yeah.
like so sick.
God, it is very, the juxtaposition happens both through Evermore and Reputation, where you get that kind of bit of a
yes,
lull and emotion,
like...
and then bang, yeah. And it's
yeah.
the same thing for Folklore and Evermore, and sorry, Folklore and 1989. Sorry, it really is kind of like that calming down moment, but not for long. Whiplash is coming,
and then you're like, boom, boom,
yeah,
boom.
And you're like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
No. 1989 was so fun, and during blank, and also the blank space, the way they filmed that was so cool. Like it
I
felt
loved it.
Like it was such a cool performance, blank space. I loved that performance. Taylor always kills blank space on tour. Like it's always such a moment. But what was really, really cool was during the like bridge, everyone shouted Sydney. Everyone was like, Sydney.
Oh, they did over at your end.
Yeah.
At my end, it was like, I kind of heard it for a second on the first one, and then it kind of died out, and I was like, it's okay. We did well. It's
yeah.
okay.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
yeah,
no, everyone did.
Moment,
everyone did do
it?
Sydney,
yeah.
which was really funny, and obviously Bad Blood. Everyone.
Oh,
did,
there.
Did,
yes. Yeah. Oh, I screamed that
so
loud.
So cool.
My voice did
yeah.
almost give in. I don't know how I'm going to do it on the actual thing, because obviously there were some songs that I could like. Okay, I'm going to calm down a bit, but I'm not going to calm down when I do eventually
make it there.
It's going to be crazy. I will lose my voice. I feel, because I almost did.
100%.
And I felt it when I was like, "You forgive, you forget," and I was like, "Oh God." I can't scream. I need to calm down for a minute.
Yeah.
Luckily, Lavender Haze came up next, so I could kind of like
chill
for a minute.
Too Fair. Next is, what's it? Surprise Songs.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, I did. That. There you go. So I was able to chill a little bit while she introduced.
Chill a little bit with our song.
Yeah, that's true, that's true. Yeah.
And then, to be fair, I have to apologise to Your Honour and Kids so much. I actually can't believe why I didn't. Why didn't I like that? I don't know.
We'd have to go back and listen.
I just did not like it. I'd love to listen, but
The deep lore of the Swiftly Spoken podcast, there are a couple of songs on Midnight that Cameron didn't enjoy on his first listen.
No.
And those were You're On Your Own Kid and Snow on the Beach. Not sure if
one
Snow
of them
the
are still we're still waiting for that one's vindication, right. That one has not had a full circle moment just yet, but You're On Your Own Kid, I remember saying like, oh, that's the worst track five ever, that's
oh
not
my
true.
Goodness,
I hated it.
You did.
And I love it now, like it's one of my favorites on Midnight, and especially watching Taylor perform it and the emotion she poured. I was getting so emotional when she was singing because you could see like how much it meant to her when she was performing it, and I was like, I was just sat there thinking, why the hell did I ever hate this song? Like, what?
I definitely,
what, you know,
feel,
what came over me?
I don't know, but these things happen, and you know, your journey with the song can go from loving it to hating it to loving it. Moments that you experience with it, and that is something that Taylor says on the tour. You know, these songs are now not only my own; they are tonight, and the memories we make, and going on from that. But to be honest with you, I would say if there are two songs that really, really represent the Eras Tour, it is You're On Your Own Kid and Long Live. Both of them are very much the soundtrack of this era in Taylor's career as a performer,
100%.
Really. Yeah, so we should talk about the different choices for surprise songs, because obviously the Eras Tour film was recorded over three nights. The first three nights at LA on her last six nights of the Eras Tour over in the first leg in the USA. And the choices that she had basically were six songs, because those were the songs that were recorded. So the choices that were recorded were You're On Your Own Kid, Our Song, Death by a Thousand Cuts, Maroon, I Can See You, and You Are In Love. Obviously, Taylor chose You're On Your Own Kid and Our Song, which for me, I do think it was perfect. It was the correct choice.
So like you said, You're On Your Own Kid just sums up the tour. It makes the whole sense of the friendship bracelet reference. And obviously they use that in the credits, so it made so much sense to have that reference in it. And Our Song then meant that there was a song from debut.
Yes,
and it annoys
God.
Me that it's called The Eras Tour and debut isn't included.
We didn't even get a little visual.
No, but you know, whatever.
I'm happy
that at least Our Song was there. And at least they mentioned it and, you know, gave it a little moment. So I'm more than happy. Maroon is a shame because I love that song so much. But You're On Your Own Kid makes so much sense.
Yeah. Death by a Thousand Cuts also goes off quite a lot. But again, I prefer You're On Your Own Kid to either of them. And I Can See You and You Are In Love made sense in case she wanted to kind of like promote either Speak Now Taylor's version or 1989 Taylor's version. But since this stands alone, I am glad.
Exactly. The film stands alone and it will stand alone. And like, and it has to kind of last the test of time. And I think that in lasting the test of time makes so much more sense to include those two songs rather than to promote something that doesn't really, won't make much sense within like a week. You know what I mean? Like in a week, it'll be like, okay, cool. Yeah.
1989 is out. It's like, okay, well, now we're back to, and you know, it does make sense. Our Song, like the first, from the first album, from the first, we have a little representation. And then You're On Your Own Kid, which is from currently her most recent proper project, an album. So it's a very, very much a full circle moment. Loved that combination. Loved it. And then we do move on to the final
Midnight's era,
which really is the longest as well.
Yeah. And
now that things have been cut,
for me, popped off. Midnight's was like definitely just slightly below Reputation in terms of like one of the best segments.
Oh yeah, definitely.
It was so like, even Lavender Haze, I'm not the biggest Lavender Haze fan, but when it was like, and she like walks out, she like struts up the steps.
I'm not the biggest fan as well, but I was about to say that Meet Me at Midnight moment. It's
she's so sick. And like, so like, yeah, Lavender Haze, what's it, Midnight Rain, she just looks so incredible. And she like came out after the umbrellas, and she's like, man, I was
so
good.
Yeah, those
and
transitions,
what's it, Vigilante shit.
Talk about Cabaret. Musical theater performance. Yes, they went for it. Like, we've seen it, obviously everyone's seen those videos, right? But to see it in HD in a massive screen like that, I was like, go off, girl. Yeah, you show them.
Wow. And yeah, transitions. What was it? Lavender Haze into Antihero
Antihero.
was the most smoothest, coolest. It was just like,
Right?
just straight in. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah,
Yeah,
those
so cool.
blending of
Loved,
some of the
loved.
songs, really, really well done, I have to say. Yeah.
Perfect. I loved it. And then Karma, I just loved, I generally loved Midnights. I was really, I was like, that was so cool. Like, Midnights
High
is incredible anyway,
energy, a
but
really incredible way to finish off the night,
really good way
definitely.
to finish it off,
Yeah,
exactly.
yeah.
With like Vigilante shit just like knocked out of the park. And then, yeah, I think Mastermind slowed down a little. I'm not gonna
I did
lie.
enjoy it though. I was glad to see.
Me
I know what you
too.
mean. It did slow it down, but it was interesting because I hadn't, the way that it was recorded from like up above, it made me appreciate it
Yeah,
was
with
just as good as Delicate, how like the
yeah,
interactions with
exactly.
the dancers and how she really is in control. A bit like a cross between Delicate and Willow in a way, where she's like pointing and they're
Yes.
going up and down. And yeah, really, really cool. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and I'll talk about appointing, but with the man, that was so cool before. We just like, you're
Oh,
making me feel so powerful. Oh, I was like, yes.
yes.
Oh no, it was just incredible. Like, and that's why the day after I was like, I have to go again. And it
Can't
was
blame
even
you.
better. Like,
Yeah.
generally, it was even better the second time around. And I want to go again. Like, I just have the time of my life. It's just the funnest thing, and I just love it so much. I cannot wait to go to the tour. Like, cannot wait.
It is a really,
Incredible, the whole
it
thing.
was such a fun experience. To anyone who maybe you are going to the tour, but kind of debating going to the cinema first, you don't want to spoil anything. If you don't want to spoil anything, well, it's a bit too late. Listen to this episode, but
Whoops.
if you're someone who's waiting to see it in person, I just do recommend going to the cinema. It is a different vibe, I do think. It is a good way to practice as well. It's a little practice run. And if you have seen the tour, and I'm sure that you have already been to the cinema because you know that you can't get enough of it. And if you haven't got the chance to see the tour, don't worry, because this is an amazing, amazing experience. Honestly,
Oh yeah, this is
incredible.
it felt like you were there. And
It
because the
did.
second time I went, I was only like 3 rows from the front, and it just meant that I was just in, like just it was just all around me, and the speakers was like right in front of my face. It was so loud, and it was just like I felt just it was so immersive. I was just totally immersed, and just I just felt like I was just there. Like it was incredible, and like having people singing along, and oh, honestly, I had the time of my life. I could go every day of the week.
Yeah.
I haven't got a single bad word to say about any of it. Like the cinematography, the filming, perfect, perfect, perfect. There was only one 1989 tour movie moment, which was with the red balloons, but I'll forgive them for that because
It
that was the whole point.
was
The
fun,
transitions
though.
were
It
meant
was
to be, you
fun.
know.
Yeah.
They were like with the Reputation Snake, obviously it was one of those things that I loved that with the Apple Music 1989 World Tour, they took away the feeling of that you were watching it, and they removed the bits of like removing dancers and making it's like no, like we want the dancers there, like we don't want it to look like Taylor's
It.
leaning back because that's not the
Yeah.
point. It was th that's the whole they lost elements of feeling like it was real. They took away the realism of it and tried to make it like just perfect, you know, of like you can't
Right.
see the dancers and every transition's this and all of that. And I think they lost touch of trying to include the background visuals too much, and I just think it they lost it. Reputation, Salem Tour, Netflix did an incredible job. But I think the Eras Tour movie did an even better job because they made it cinematic and made it so
Yeah.
immersive but also so realistic and didn't take away from, you know, anything. And they nicely included the visuals
Yeah.
without
And the
making it like,
fan
what the fuck?
moments. The
You know
fan
what I mean?
moments. Yeah, no, definitely. And the fan moments as well were just placed correctly. Like it was
Exactly.
enough
Exactly.
rawness, enough emotion featured that made you feel like, oh, this is just someone who's in the crowd with me right now. And it could very well be.
Exactly.
So, no, I completely
Exactly.
agree. It was an incredible experience. I had a hell of a time. It really, yeah, geared me up ready. We will be discussing when our time comes how we are preparing for the Eras Tour and discussing our costumes and ideas and different things. But until then, this was an amazing, amazing taster. And yeah, just an incredible night. Really, really had a fun time. So let us know, what were your highlights? What were the parts that you didn't expect to blow you away but did? What were some parts that you thought would be your favorite but maybe weren't because something else stole the show? Let us know your experiences. Did you connect with other Swifties? Did you go alone? Did you go with friends? yeah, sound off on the comments, because yeah, it was just so fun and so interesting, and to for the first time really see the Swifties come together, at least in my case, it was very, very magical, I thought.
It was just so, everything about it was just like, I just thought to myself at one point, I was like, I'm literally like having the time of my life. Like, this is the funnest Friday I think I've ever had. You know what I mean? I was just like, this is the coolest thing. Like, it was just perfect. Like, I just couldn't, it just makes me so happy. You know what I mean? Like, and it generally makes me think, like, I just think, God, I feel sorry for people that don't have something that makes them this happy, and just, you know, they have this world that they can just escape into and everything's fun and, you know, nothing in their real life matters and you just have the time of your life for 3 hours. And I'm just like, I feel sorry for people that don't have that, in, you know, yeah, and not don't so have much, something that they're just can escape yeah, into.
Not so much that, like, because, you know, you have hobbies and things, but I feel mostly sorry for people who maybe look at us and think that's cringe or embarrassing.
Yeah.
And it does remind me of that quote that Taylor said during the Lover era, like, the people that kind of like want to shame you for being excited or, you know, go overboard and get dressed up for a movie release or kind of side eye you, because there were some people who were around that kind of looked at us like, look at these people.
When I had to leave the cinema and walk past a load of clubs at like half 10 at night, I was like, oh my God.
But you know what? Forget those people, because in the end, it is. It's just such a fun time, and you shouldn't be embarrassed by something that makes you happy and makes you, you know, just feel elated, really. Feel like you're walking on air.
Exactly.
So, yeah. With that, we've come to the end of this episode. If you did enjoy, then make sure to give it a like. Leave us a comment telling us about your experience, as we have said. If you do enjoy our episodes, then make sure you subscribe to us over on YouTube. Also, if you want to keep up to date with any new information or behind the scenes things, you can follow us over on Instagram. Our handle is @SwiftlySpokenPodcast. And finally, if you are listening on Spotify or Apple Music and you would like to, you can go ahead and rate us as well. Thank you very much for listening, and we will speak to you very soon, as 1989 Taylor's Version is just around the corner.